We've been talking about, during the course of this month, living a life of worship. Living a life of worship. And our desire, our goal is, as we start off the year, is to set ourselves in alignment with the movement of God and what He is doing. I believe that God wants to bless each one of us in a significant way. And I believe that God wants each one of us to be a blessing in significant ways. And I believe that it is only when you live a life of worship that those two things become true. That you are blessed and your life becomes a blessing. And so we've been looking at worship, talking about what worship is, examining, looking at examples of worship, and then holding up our very own lives against those examples and saying, God, is this where I am? And if I am not here, will you go ahead and move me to the place where you want me to be? Amen. And so we want to continue that today as we talk about living a life of worship is saying, I surrender. Living a life of worship is saying, I surrender. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is the story about a man by the name of Saul who had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Saul's encounter with Jesus Christ resulted in a change in his direction and a correction in his allegiance. Saul was a persecutor of the church, meaning that he did not want anything to do with the person Jesus Christ. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah sent by God. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God sent to save mankind. He just felt like this guy was an imposter who had come to disrupt the true move of God. And as a result of that, anyone who followed Jesus was a target of this man called Saul. And so it is that he was in pursuit of those who followed Jesus so that he could stop their behavior. Acts chapter 9 is the story of his last attempt to mess with the people of God, because God set him straight and called him into the fold. Amen. I want to read not all of Acts chapter 9, but this section, I want to read from verses 1 through verse number 19. That's a lot. What do you mean? Yeah. He's back here agreeing with me. He said, yeah, that's a lot. quite a bit. But because it is a narrative, I can assure you that it will not be boring. Amen? Amen. It won't be boring at all, and it will be moving. Are you ready? I'm going to begin with verse number 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "now I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. He has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." The Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, as well as the doing of his word. Living a life of worship is saying, "I surrender." As we have been talking about worship, we have sought to add some definition around what worship is. You and I talk about coming to the house of worship and participating in a worship service. Amen. It's the idea that we come together to pay homage, honor to God Himself, the creator of the universe. We learned on last time, and you also learned for those of you who have been doing the reading in lesson two of With Christ in the School of Prayer, you learn that to worship in spirit and in truth, you must do it through the person of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to worship God, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. If there is no Jesus, there is no worship of God. For Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless they come through me." And so if there is no Jesus through which you are doing your worship, then your worship is not really to the true and living God. So we learned that that is one way that we must worship, is through the person of Jesus Christ, and not just through Jesus Christ, but by the power of the Spirit of Christ. Amen? That if you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, I hate to tell you this, but you don't belong to Christ. He says that you have a spirit, the Spirit of God, who came to dwell in you when you put your hope, your faith, your confidence in Jesus Christ. There, the Spirit came and made his dwelling in you. He had several purposes. First, he wanted to seal you as a child of God. Secondly, he wanted to deposit into you something that would grow up and mature and enable you to hear God's voice, connect with God, recognize what God is doing, and then walk in the power of God. And that can only happen if the Spirit of God is at work in you. That there are many things that you can do by your own strength, but to worship God in spirit and in truth, you need His Spirit living on the inside of you, active and working. Amen? So he said, you've got to come through Jesus. You've got to do it through His Spirit so that you can worship in spirit and in truth. We say that in our worship service, we will split up the different parts of our experience because we think of worship in several different ways. So we have a portion where we worship in singing. That means that we are lifting up songs, just adoring who God is, recognizing who God is, looking at God's character, celebrating what God has done because we are worshiping Him for who He is. And then we also say we will worship in prayer because prayer is worship. By the way, prayer is God's means of communication for you and me. He said that I will allow you to enter my throne room of grace. You can come to me as often and as frequently as you want to, and you can boldly make your request to me because you have trusted in Jesus Christ. And because you trusted in Jesus Christ, you have an all-access pass. Oh, I get excited about that. That I get to move to the front of the line. Amen. Amen. When I'm coming, it's like somebody come and say, oh, they're going to usher this brother in. Why? Because I know Jesus. And Jesus knows me. I don't know. I've never been to one of those fancy clubs, you know, where they kind of have it roped off and they're checking people at the door. But some of the shows that I watch on TV, you know, they show where people are going. You know, they're standing in line trying to, you know, get in. And there's a bouncer there that's waiting and saying, you can't come in. I guess they look at them and the way they dress because they want a certain clientele there. And then, you know, you have someone who comes in with special privileges, a little fame or whatever. And everybody else is standing in line, and that individual comes in, flashes their little pearly whites, and they are moved in, and the bouncer will take the rope off of the thing and say, you come on in, and everybody else is still standing there watching. Well, see, you and me, that's right, we got privilege. And it's not privilege based upon the way we look. It's not privilege based upon what we have. It's not privilege based on what we drive. It's not privilege based upon any of those things. It's privilege based upon who we know. In that song, we said that He is all our righteousness, that we stand complete in Him. Why? Because Jesus became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so when we come up, we are recognized because of who we know and because of what He has done for us. Amen? We come up because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all the sin that used to hang around on us can't stay no more because He has made us clean and set us free. And therefore, you and I can boldly approach the King of Glory. We can boldly approach the one who sits on heaven's highest throne. We can boldly approach the one that said, let there be, and it was. We can boldly approach the one that when He speaks, nobody can overturn what He has said. He welcomes you and me into His company. Now, I don't know about you, but that's something to get excited about. You have an audience with the King of Glory without restriction. He says that you can boldly come and talk to me, because that's what prayer is, right? Prayer is talking to God. It's communicating with God. It's you talking with God and you allowing God to talk back to you. And so we say we pray. And prayer becomes a form of our worship because we are bowing down before him in our hearts, in our minds, in acknowledging that there is nobody like our God. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be honored. And it is only him who can make a difference in our lives and in our circumstances. That he holds the times in his hand. Amen. And so he says, you can come in and you can pray to me. So we worship in singing. We worship in praying. And then, you know, we definitely worship in giving. Amen. And you guys should have been jumping up, pulling your wallets out. And I don't want to wait to. Shame on me. Remember when we first started talking about worship, we talked about the three wise men that came to find the babe that had been born because they saw his star and they knew that he was the king, born king of the Jews, and they simply came to worship him. Remember what they did? They used their time. They used their energy. They used their resources, left the places where they lived, traveled a distance just to come and find him and worship him. And when they found him, it wasn't enough for them to say, we found you. What did they do? They opened up their treasuries and they began to worship in giving. And so when you give unto the Lord, it is not something that is difficult. It is an act of worship, an act of worship, an act of acknowledging that God, all that I have comes from you. Amen. That's the way you do it. God, all that I have comes from you. I am only giving back a portion of what you have given to me. And then you're acknowledging that God, what I stand in the need of, you can supply. For the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. So if I'm hungry and in need of a steak, yes, sir, you can send me a good cut of meat. Amen? Amen. Because it all belongs to you. He will meet all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. There is no need that you have that the God that we worship cannot meet. Amen? You remember that other song we sang? The Lord is my shepherd. Remember that? I shall not be in want. Because he's my shepherd, I have all that I need. Amen? You hear she said, and some. The kind of shepherd that not only meets my physical needs, but he also meets my emotional needs. He meets my mental needs. He meets my spiritual needs. Therefore, he satisfies my spirit. He satisfies my soul and he satisfies my body. He's my shepherd and I shall not be in want. So when we start to worship in giving, we're simply acknowledging to God that God, you are my source. You can use whatever resource that you want to use to get to me what I need. And it is us bowing down and acknowledging who he is, adoring him for who he is, accepting his revelation of who he is and walking in it. That's what worship looks like. We're talking about we want to learn to live a lifestyle of worship. I want to add to that today one other dimension. Worship is a willful, obedient response to the Spirit's headship, influence, and his power. Amen? Yeah, I know that was a mouthful. That's what worship is, right? Worship is a response. It's a willful, obedient response to the Spirit's headship. influence and his power. Remember, God is what? A spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. It is the Spirit of God that provides illumination and that helps you and me to see and to understand this invisible God that we can't see, but we can experience how he is moving. It's a willful, obedient response to the Spirit's headship, influence, and his power. Headship, because remember, God is atop. He is in charge. And when you're worshiping, what you're acknowledging is that God, you are God all by yourself. You don't need anybody else. Willful, because I don't want you to make me bow down and worship you. I want to worship you out of acknowledgement that you are who you are. Because the Bible says every day one knee will bow, even those who don't want to. I want to be among those who willfully bow and surrender myself to him in response to what he reveals. Now, I think the Apostle Paul's life illustrates this in an incredible way. And not just the Apostle Paul's life, but also Ananias. As in this story, they are demonstrating a willful response to what the Spirit is doing in their individual lives. At the start of this, I told you about Paul in his former life. You do know that Paul, the reason Paul was persecuting the church was because Paul was a Pharisee. Paul had been raised up and trained in the Word of God and the law of God, and he understood the Old Testament and what the Bible said about who God was. But somehow, in his studies, he was not able to bring together the pieces. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene as God's anointed one, Paul's heart was not ready to receive and to acknowledge that God had brought Jesus on the scene to be the Lamb of God to pay for the sins of the world. And because Paul was committed to his religion, that of being a Pharisee, that of the old covenant, he did not want anything to go against his God. And as a result of that, he understood the law to say that if there is anybody who blasphemes, anybody who claims to be God and they are not, you need to stone them to death. And so Paul thought he was walking in obedience to God's commands, when in actuality, he was fighting against the very move of God. But in Acts chapter 9, we see this encounter that he has with the Spirit of the living God, with Jesus himself. Then we see Paul's response. Paul's willingness to accept what has been revealed and what the Spirit is doing and saying, I was wrong. His willingness then to repent and change his view and his perspective about who Jesus is. And his willingness to do that changed the trajectory of Paul's life. And Paul became Paul became blessed, and then he became an incredible blessing to all of us. You do know that when you pick up this book and begin to read in the New Testament, the very God that I'm talking about was a persecutor of the church, was also the writer of 13 letters. Amen. The writer, when you start reading from Romans and you make your way all the way over to the letters of Titus, he is the writer of those letters. Letters to churches that he was trying to encourage and speak into their lives. Not only was he the writer that left us a blessing, but he was also a missionary. For what he did was he surrendered his life unto the Lord. And he said, I am yours. You are free to do with me whatever you desire. Brothers and sisters, as hard as it sounds, that's what worship looks like. That's worship in spirit and in truth. When you can say to God, I am yours. You are free to do with me whatever you want to. Worship looks like when you stop fighting God's move. Start allowing him to have his way. I believe that it is only there when you and I can actually enter into true worship that we can truly be blessed of God and be a blessing to others. No other way around it. Now, it's important that you understand that when I use the expression, the term blessing, I'm not talking about having a trouble-free life. That's important because we have a lot of, can I just say, we have a lot of bad theology out there that tells people that when they are walking in God's will, when they're doing things God's way, that everything is going to go just great for them and they're not going to have any trouble in their lives. When I talk about blessing, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a trouble-free life. Can I tell you that my wife is a blessed woman? Amen. And even though she is a blessed woman, I told you about trouble she's having right now. The trouble she's having right now does not mean that she is not a blessed woman. Blessing does not mean that you're not going to have trouble. What blessing means, it reminds you, is that trouble don't last always. Amen? See, when you're blessed and you know that trouble don't last always, you don't let trouble get the best of you. Amen? You know this thing ain't going to hang around forever. It's got to go. When you are blessed, what blessed means is that when trouble comes your way, is that you get the victory. Amen. That's what blessing means, is that even though trouble comes knocking on your door, it's going to be used as a tool to be a blessing to you. And when you start to know and understand that and live a life of worship, what you do is you learn how to give thanks in the middle of your trouble. That's worship, by the way, giving thanks. When you know that, you learn how to praise in the middle of your trouble. Now, your condition hasn't changed, but your God is still the same. Woo! We're talking about the kind of God that's a bridge over troubled waters. And when you enter into worship and you're living a lifestyle of worship and you're saying to God, I surrender, you're free to do with me whatever you want to do, then you say to trouble, you got to deal with my God. Because what I can't do in my own strength and power, his word declares that his grace is sufficient to keep me and deliver me. So if you and I can get to a place where we start to surrender ourselves into worship and allow ourselves to be obedient, willfully obedient in response to the Spirit's headship, his influence, and his power, God will say, my blessing is going to rest upon your life. That's a good word right there. That's a good word. That's a good word that Paul was at that point of, even though he had to be knocked off of the donkey in which he was riding, even though a bright light had to be shown around him, bright because when Jesus shows up, he's nothing but light, right? Jesus declared, I am the light. So when he shows up, his light is going to be bright, so bright that Paul, Saul, at that time, could not see because he was blinded. When I tell you that God can do it in an instant, he sent a man to simply pray for Saul and to lay his hands up on him. And Saul's response to him was, thank you. Let me go get baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see Saul responding to the Spirit's move, but you also see Ananias responding to the Spirit's move. Because Ananias has a vision whereby Jesus comes and tells him what has happened to Saul. He said he is there praying. And I want you to go to this place. Go to Judas's house on Straight Street because there's a man there that's praying. He's had an encounter with me and his eyes been shut up. But he's seen a vision of you coming to open his eyes. And Ananias has heard the reports about this man, Saul, coming into the community, coming into the town. He's heard the report that he's coming for the express purpose of arresting God's people and putting them in prison. And so Ananias responds to the Spirit of God in obedience because he lays aside his fear. Because he's afraid. He's afraid of Saul. Because if the man is coming to do what he does and he has authority to do it, that means that he can arrest me and take me because I'm not going to deny who Jesus is. So Ananias responds because Jesus said, he didn't explain to him any of the other stuff. He just simply said to him, go and do what I said do. A willful, obedient response to the Spirit's headship, his influence, and his power is that you simply do what he has told you to do without knowing the end of the story. Amen? Worship is when you and I will trust God enough to be obedient to what he tells us to do. Worship is when you and I are willing to lay down our own thoughts, our own beliefs, our own principles, and replace them with God's revelation so that we can walk in obedience to it. What God has declared through the person of Jesus Christ, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, you remember that in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, what Jesus declared, there is a time coming when the true worshipers of God will worship him, not at a place or location, but will worship him in spirit and in truth. Paul's life demonstrates that religion alone won't cut it. That he was a very religious man, studying the Word of God, practicing the Word of God, but somehow in his religion, he still missed the Messiah. And what God is saying to you and me is that I have not come for a religious people. I've come for a worshiping people. And you can't worship me through religion. You've got to worship me through relationship. He's saying that if you're going to worship me, you've got to get past the religion, just the keeping of rules. You're keeping rules just because the rule is there, but you don't understand who the rule maker is and you don't have a relationship with him. All you can say is that I did this and I did that. But it does not earn you what you need in order to make it through this life. He says, no, I did not come for you to be practicing religion. I came for you to religiously worship me, though. I came for you to religiously worship me morning, noon, and night. Religiously worship me every day that I give you. Religiously worship me with every breath that I give you. That's what I came for you to focus your religion on, not rules, but on me. He demonstrates in Paul's life that he has come for a people who are not about religion, but are about relationship. For again, it has been demonstrated that folks practice religion. They went to the synagogue every Saturday. They're like some folk go to church every Sunday, just so they can say that they've been. Not making any difference in their life. See, when you worship and you enter into that space, it makes a difference in your life. Amen? When you worship and you're not keeping rules, worship will change the way you talk. Amen. Worship will say it won't let you talk the way you used to talk because the spirit that lives in you is bringing about a change in you. Worship will change the way you think. Because when you're walking in total surrender unto God, he's going to renew your mind and change your perspective in the way you see things. He's going to change the way you think. Religion just has you keeping rules. But worship allows the spirit of the living God to come in and impact your life in such a way that you don't look the same. You don't act the same. Because the Spirit of the living God is at work in you, doing only what he can do, bringing about transformation in your life. So he says, I want you to worship. I want you to live a life of worship. If you say, I surrender. If you do that, in response, he says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Amen. You can go, and I want you to do this sometime. Think about this, even as you're reading the word of God. You go. You can start in Genesis. Look at Abraham. Abraham worshiped God. Abraham had a willful, obedient response to the Spirit's headship, his influence, and his power. For when God said to Abraham, I want you to leave your parents' house, your daddy's household, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you, Abraham responded by getting up and leaving. And if you know right, Abraham was blessed. He wasn't trouble-free, but he was blessed. In fact, he was so blessed that when folk messed with him, God dealt with them. Amen? He was blessed. In fact, it was through Abraham that the blessing comes to the rest of the world. For God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. In the world, he said, they will be blessed by you. Abraham, with his response to God, then was blessed and he became a blessing. You can keep going down the line. Isaac was blessed and he became a blessing. Jacob was blessed and he became a blessing. Jacob, you know the one, he was a deceitful, scheming joker. You remember Jacob, right? He was the one that hustled his brother out of his birthright. Because he didn't understand that God had already purposed for him to be in the place that he was scheduled to be. And so he hustling God. But in spite of that, God still blesses him because on one occasion, Jacob moves to a place of where he worships God. And when he worships God, God blesses him. Then Jacob becomes a blessing. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was blessed of God and he became a blessing. Now, you know, Joseph, if anybody, you're talking about life not being trouble free. Joseph is a good example, right? You remember Joseph? He was born. He was his daddy's favorite. His brothers got mad at him, didn't like him. One day when they caught him away from home, they decided that they would beat him up. They wanted to kill him. But fortunately, the hand of God said, no, this boy got work to do. So instead, they just kind of threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. You remember that story. It's bad enough to be sold into slavery, and then you're going to go and work in your master's house, and you're doing a great job, and your master's wife decides that she wants to falsely accuse you. So now he goes from the pit to prison. It ain't trouble-free, but he was still blessed. Remember, if you ever go back and read this story about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, pressing forward, what you're going to see is that in each one of those endeavors, it's going to say, and God was with him. And that's the thing about being blessed, is that God is with you. And when God is with you, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If God is on your side, you'll be able to make it over. Amen. He'll bring you through. Amen. And so Joseph, he's blessed to become a blessing. Because when the famine came and nobody had any food, God had already prepared Joseph. And it moved him to a place of where now he is going to be second in command. And he tells his brothers, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And he sent me ahead of you so that I can save your old nappy head. Okay, so that's my paraphrase. He didn't say it that way. See, that's somebody saying it with an attitude. Joseph didn't have an attitude when he said it, right? He said, God sent me ahead to save you. God used me to be a blessing for you. He was a type of the one who is the ultimate blessing. Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ, the one who would save all of mankind. That Jesus, who was without sin, who was perfect, who gave his life over to worship unto God. For you remember the words of Jesus? It starts off when he began his ministry that said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to be a blessing. He opened the eyes of the blind. He's anointed me. And then he says in that, I can't do anything without the Father telling me because I only do what the Father tells me to do. Jesus was blessed and he was a blessing. He was a blessing when he walked among men. Was he not? Okay, just ask the woman with the issue where she was bleeding for 12 years. She would say, oh, he was a blessing to me. Yeah. Ask Jairus' daughter. Just ask Jairus and his wife that when that baby had died, that little girl had died, and Jesus said, oh, she's just asleep. And then when he leans over her and says to her, little girl, get up. Yeah. She would say, he was a blessing. Amen. Jesus was blessed and he was a blessing because of his worship unto God in him doing what God had called him to do. He responded to the Spirit's headship, his influence, and his power. So much so that even at the end of his life, when time was drawing near, you remember that time in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus bows down and he talks to the Father and he says that if there is another way, let this cup pass me by. And it says that he prayed that prayer three times. Then he concluded, not my will, your will be done. I will respond to you in obedience to what you want to be done. And in his response, look at us now. We are blessed. Because Jesus responded to the Spirit's headship, his influence, and his power. Because what Jesus did brought life to you and to me. The laying down of his life gave you and me life. The laying down of his life paid the debt that you and I could not pay. The laying down of his life set us free. And when he was raised up and he ascended into heaven, the Spirit of God came to dwell and live in you and me so that we are now blessed, so that we can become a blessing. Brothers and sisters, I believe that God wants us right now in this season to be instruments of blessing. But we cannot be instruments of blessing unless we are fully surrendered to him. Because you know what he needs right now in this season and in this time? He needs true, authentic belief. Because there's so much fake stuff out there right now, he needs somebody that's going to stand out. Somebody that's going to be real. Somebody that don't just talk about him, but they live the life. Amen? Listen. We are in that season, we are in that time right now where everybody seems to be talking about God, but it just seems to be talk. Everybody is claiming to know God, but it seems like conditions are becoming worse and worse. And what God is seeking are true worshipers, people who will live a lifestyle of worship. No matter where they are, live a lifestyle of worship at home. Live a lifestyle of worship in the store. Live a lifestyle of worship in your places of recreation. Live a lifestyle of worship in your places of business, in your places of work. Wherever you find yourself, you are fully committed to surrendering your life to the move of God's Spirit so that God can be glorified, so that Jesus can be exalted, and so that you can become a witness of the goodness and power of a God who loves, forgives, and redeems. You and I simply learn to say yes, surrender to his will. He'll take our broken conditions and he'll restore them. He'll heal them because only he can do it. Amen. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, as we bow before you right now, it is our desire to walk in harmony with you. We ask that you will increase our capacity for receiving you. We ask that you would fill us afresh and new with your Spirit, so that we are able to hear you with clarity and respond in obedience to how you are moving. We beseech thee right now, and we ask that you would search our hearts. And if there is anything that is preventing us from following you, responding to the prompting of your Spirit, we ask right now, you will empower us to say yes to you. If it is a thing, it is a behavior that needs to be removed from our lives, give us the strength and the courage to set aside and push away anything that would hinder our worship of you. That our worship would not be just with words, that it would be demonstrated in our lifestyle. As we offer ourselves to you, spirit, soul, and body, as living sacrifices, we invite you to use us to your glory. And ask that you would have your way, that in whatever way you desire to bless us, you are free to do so. So that however you want us to be a blessing to others, we are made able to do so. We surrender to you in Jesus' name.